Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies this week of October 11th? 12th? I don't know.
Something
what weekend
like that.
Is it?
It's
I don't know. Anyways,
the releases are October 12th.
October 12th. This weekend, we've got a couple movies coming out we're going to talk about.
as we normally do, there's nothing special with that.
Well, you know, we've tossed around other topics. You know, in pre-show, but
nothing we can say on the air.
Nothing that we can say on the air.
Nothing that we want to have indelible and around on record for anyone else to hear.
Right, but what we will be talking about
this week.
When Neil
runs for senator in about 20 years.
We will be talking about We Own the Night. We will also be talking about Elizabeth, the Golden Age. We have Why Did I Get Married? Which is a good question for those who are married.
Not you.
I suppose not me. And hopefully something that has no parallel to our show, the final season.
Because we could just do this forever.
We could.
People don't have to listen, but we will continue.
Yes, and we're also going to talk about news and stuff. But before we do that, let's talk about where you can get a hold of us.
That's right.
You can get us online, fatguysatthemovies.com.
The greatest website known to man.
The soon-to-be-redesigned fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies, and our beautiful faces pop right up.
Yeah.
If you would like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, another pretty good website, if I do say so myself. And if you'd like to give us a call, 614-388-8735. And Kevin, this week we've got voicemail to play. I cannot wait.
Well, we'll do it later. But 388-TREK, which is pertinent to our news section later on in the show.
Yeah, we might talk a little Star Trek.
So we're starting out with movie reviews.
Yeah.
The big one. Let's start with the one that Neil's seen. Because you've seen nothing
let's
else.
Let's get that one out of the
He's
way.
He's seen the trailers
so that I can take
for everything
nap
else.
You know. Here in the middle of the show.
Neil's going to just disappear. He'll go make a sandwich. We Own the Night. Seems to be, they're trying to make this, I think, next year's, or this year's The Departed, as opposed to last year's, which was The Departed, which won the Academy Award. This one stars Mark Wahlberg, Joaquin Phoenix, brothers on opposite sides of the law. Let's take a listen.
Nice place, man.
Just wait till I take over Manhattan, baby.
You like what you do at the club very much.
You are like a son to me.
I love you.
This is the police!
Sooner or later, either you're going to be with us, or you're going to be with the dealers. It's just like a war out there.
Well, there we go. Neil, I'm going to let you start since you've actually seen this, because I guess I'm going to monopolize the rest of the show.
You are, which is unfortunate for our listeners. But you did mention that
was me.
This is trying to be this year's Departed, and I'm all for it, right? I was very excited about this film. The only problem is they didn't drop anybody off any buildings.
No, they didn't. Didn't have Jack Nicholson just walking around being crazy in the background.
Yeah, and I'm speaking metaphorically, of course. There was no moment in this film where the film got turned upside down, as in The Departed. And if you've seen The Departed, which I hope you have,
it's not our fault if we spoil it for you. You've had a year, people.
Seriously.
I have no sympathy for
it. I thought it was well done. I thought there was a lot of potential there. I thought it was a good movie.
Had the best opening scene almost ever in a movie.
A great opening scene. There were some really cool shots in it. There's a
especially great one of Eva Mendes without her shirt on.
You're a perv.
just letting the audience know what we get in.
There's a cool car scene, you know, in the rain.
That was cool. There's a great chase scene in it.
So I thought it was well done, but I wanted it to be better than it was. It did not blow me away. It was not sensational. It was just another decent drama.
It wasn't The Departed. And I think what it had going against it was you would expect it to be The Departed after the buildup, and it's not. I mean, it's got some great acting, and I think it's a pretty good directing. It's really heavy and thick, but overall, I liked it. I thought it was decent, but it wasn't great. It was kind of the same thought I had with when we talked about Michael Clayton last week.
Yep.
And if you haven't, if you want to hear our reviews, go back to the last episode.
Go back to last week.
Because, hey, we're current. And it came out in the small theaters last weekend, so we're not going to really.
We
talk
just
about
try
it
and stay topical here. At
That's
Fat
right.
Guys, the movies.
And nothing's more topical right now than our next. Oh wait. What's your rating?
Kind of rocks.
Mine's kind of rocked as well. Yes, but nothing's more topical now than Queen Elizabeth.
And the third Queen Elizabeth movie in how many years?
Well, this is the second of Queen Elizabeth I.
This is the second in the series.
I guess we're doing a decalogy of Queen Elizabeth films.
All right, well, let's just play a clip.
This Spanish armada is at sea with an army of 10,000 men.
Spanish are barely a day away, Majesty.
Spain intends to place Mary Stuart on our country's throne.
And I am to be assassinated. Tell your king.
I fear neither him nor his armies.
There is a wind coming that will sweep away your pride.
I too can command the wind, sir! I have a hurricane in me that will strip Spain bare if you dare to try me!
Now, this movie, Neil has not seen, but I got a chance to check it out. And I'll say this. If you like history, go see this movie.
Because it has Clive Owen in it.
It's got Clive Owen, Wilson Phillips in it. And if you're going to see it, I would suggest going and looking up some stuff like Mary Queen of Scots and Queen Elizabeth and the Spanish Armada on Wikipedia before you see this movie, because there's a lot of nuance that you completely lose if you don't know the British history. And it's kind of like watching the last episode of Star Wars without seeing any of the other ones, where you're like, well, I guess he's a bad guy, but
wait,
I really
don't
know.
Which last episode, in the good trilogy or the crappy trilogy?
Hey, now, Sith was a great movie. So it's like that. You do miss some, and it's a big costume drama. But the problem is the ending is it's got this big climactic battle, the Spanish Armada against the British fleet, and it completely just doesn't do it right. It's like watching Braveheart. If you have Mel Gibson on the horse, he gives the big speech, and then there's like a couple slow motion shots of soldiers running, and then they cut back to some tents, and there's some generals going, "Wow, we're really getting slaughtered out there." And then Mel Gibson standing over a bunch of dead British soldiers. That's what the ending's like.
Is it like they ran out of money at the end, and it's just like, well, I guess we really can't do that CG shot.
I'm watching the movie, and I'm like expecting. I'm like, well, at least I'll get to see one just completely rocking battle on the ocean, like at the end of Pirates. And you don't get that.
I was just thinking they could have borrowed a scene from Pirates.
And Jeffrey Rush is in both movies.
There you go. So, why not?
I mean, if you like period pieces, if you like costume dramas, it's one for you. But otherwise, go see it. I'm on the fence. I don't know which way to go. Maybe kind of rocks if you want that sort of thing.
If you're into that?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Whatever.
We got to go to a break. When we come back, more movies.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Well, that was sober and cogent. I mean, that's not the way we normally do it.
Well,
that was sort of like a sneak previews coming back, you know.
Right.
Jeffrey Lyon sort of, oh, hi, I'm Jeffrey Lyon.
Well, hello. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Jeffrey Lyons once set me aflame because in a review of mine, did I tell you this?
Yeah.
I don't think I've told the listeners this. I once called him pompous. And I misquoted him.
No.
And he emailed me, and he's like, "You misquoted me on this. I didn't say this." And I'm like, "Oh, man, I'm sorry." And he had sent me, he also says, "And you called me pompous. How dare you call me pompous?" And my response was, "Well, that was kind of pompous, don't you think?"
Yeah. Cool.
So, I get flamed by the best of them.
You do. I'm still waiting for like my major flame, because I've been a reviewer.
I'm sure he's out there waiting.
For a while now, and I've called a lot of people, a lot of things, and I've not yet to get any major flame. So I'm kind of disappointed. If anybody out there hates me, please.
This is the time to speak up.
Totally.
Have your voice be heard.
Right now.
We need a letter writing campaign that's called I Hate Neil Miller.
Okay.
He's terrible. He's evil.
You know what? All publicity is good publicity, Kevin.
Neil Miller is worse than cancer.
I doubt it.
Well.
Shouldn't we be talking about some movies?
I don't know. I just like the fact that you're like up for this campaign of hatred from people.
Well, it just doesn't bother me. They can hate.
They can hate. Don't be hating.
Anyways.
Isn't that a Jamie Kennedy quote? Don't be hating.
Wow.
That's from Malibu's Most Wanted, isn't it?
Right.
That powerhouse of a
movie. Or is it from that other movie that you were in?
That's not out yet?
Yeah.
That they were begging me to sign a release because they didn't have me sign a release originally?
You could totally sue him for like
the producer,
all $50
the director like
made.
Calls me. He's like, "Can you sign a release?" I'm like, "I don't care." Because I talked to Melissa Starker, who's another reviewer from Columbus, and she said she saw the film Heckler, which I'm in,
mm-hmm.
And she was at...
She was one of the 12.
She was... What festival they showed it at? Oh, New York.
Tribeca,
yeah. And I asked her what she thought. She goes, I said, "Did they make me look like an idiot?" And she's like, "No more than they made Jamie Kennedy look like an idiot." So she said, no matter what, everybody came out better than Jamie Kennedy.
Yes.
So,
yes. Well, let's talk about some movies here.
That's right. Another movie you didn't see this week was Why Did I Get Married? which had me asking.
I don't think I could relate to that.
Yeah, let's hear a clip.
Whose idea was it for us to come up to the snow?
It's beautiful here, you have to admit this.
It's beautiful, but Jamaica's beautiful and warm.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Every single year, we take a 7-day vacation.
Who is this?
I'm Trina. Where is Sheila?
Oh, I made her drive. We flew.
You did what? Mike, are you hearing what you're saying right now?
I'm not the only married person with a secret at this table. Check me.
This movie, Why Did I Get Married, had me asking, why did I see this movie?
I hope it didn't have you. I'm pretty sure your wife listens to this. I hope it didn't have you asking, why did you get married?
No, the one thing this does do is it does make you realize, it's sort of like watching the Jerry Springer Show, where you feel after watching it, you're like, my problems are minor compared to these insane.
So what you're saying is that this movie should do like crazy money at the box office?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm coming at it from a completely unique perspective because I've never seen any of Tyler Perry's other movies. So I'm not like tainted with the desire to see him in a fat suit and a dress.
Right.
You know, I'm not expecting Medea's Family Reunion or Diary of a Mad Black Woman or anything like that. So, you know, I was taking it for what it was. And I mean, it was okay. It reminded me a lot of Chris Rock's I Think I Love My Wife, where it showed a lot of dysfunction in a marriage and then sort of like resolves itself a little too easily.
Right, unlike reality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Trust me, guys out there, if you're going to see this movie and go, well, gosh, you can go cheat on your girlfriend and get VD and then it's all okay. Let me tell you, it is not okay. If you want to test the waters, give it a try. But I would advise not to do this.
That's the official advice of Fat Guys Movies. Don't get VD.
Don't get VD,
okay,
and give it to your girlfriend. So this film, instead of actually just reviewing it too much, I do have a funny story to tell. The theater was packed when I went to go in to see it. And somehow I was going to get a seat, and then these people started shuffling around, you know, the people in the chairs. And somehow I ended up sitting next to a woman who was kind of large. And she was sort of spilling
over
into my seat.
Well, she felt you were kindred spirits.
Well, when I'm saying she was kind of large, that's
right.
Saying something,
she
you know?
Huge, I mean, man.
Yeah, and she was literally spilling over into my... She had the armrest lift up.
Oh, no.
So she had already lifted it up, and she had her purse there. But she, you can sit here. And I'm like looking at maybe 3/4 of a seat, and I'm like... And you don't want to be rude.
I don't
rude.
Normally fit in
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you don't want to sit there and say to the lady... I'm sorry, I see that your butt cheek's on part of my seat. Can you move it? Because she obviously couldn't. So I squeeze in and I'm watching the movie, just kind of like leaning here. No kidding, there's a scene where a fat woman gets kicked off a plane because she takes up 2 seats.
Wow.
And it was the most uncomfortable thing in my life because I'm here going, I'm that guy who's kicking her off the plane but I've squeezed in here. And you know what was the most pathetic part about it? The woman had no idea of the parallel.
She didn't get it.
She didn't understand. She's like, she's watching, like, oh no, they're not gonna do that to her. Oh, they're not gonna kick her off the plane, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, lady, I got your coat like jamming me in the side here. And what am I gonna get up? And then you're gonna be like, are you calling me fat? I'm like, no, the seat's calling.
Laws of physics are calling you fat at this point.
I mean, as a fat guy, I have the utmost, you know, sympathy for people who are overweight. But you know, live in reality, you know, and realize, you know what? Hey, I'm sitting in the seat. There's a seat over there if you'd prefer. But don't shuffle around and then squeeze me into a 3/4 seat. But anyways, that has nothing to do really with the movie. It was just, that was more funny than
so
the movie.
So what's the grade on the movie?
Kind of sucks.
And the movie theater experience?
Really sucked. Almost as bad as my Ratatouille experience. Go back and listen to that show.
Oh, yeah. But that was a great movie, at least.
It was a good movie, but it just, the people just upset me.
I understand.
We're getting low on time, and you know the only other movie we got to talk about is the final season.
Yep.
Which... they screened, but they had like they also screened Elizabeth and Michael Clayton at the same night. So
it was like, here, let's screen all these movies and make critics decide which ones they want to go see.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder. That's almost like not having a screening because they're like, well, we'll put up this movie that's getting a huge release up against this movie that's getting a tiny release, and hopefully no one will go see it and bash our movie. So,
right, but see, if you're that guy that goes and sees the final season, though, you could potentially get your quote on the poster because you're like one of like 4 critics.
Yeah, 7 people, you know, 100% of the critics who reviewed this movie loved it.
All 5 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
But
we have nothing to say about that one.
Whatever. We'll go to break.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette when you kiss me.
And we're back here on Fat Guys the Movies. We're in between segments here. We can talk a little box office, right?
Sure.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
It was kind of embarrassing for the Heartbreak Kid, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it was the game plan won again last weekend.
And this is what's funny is this has been a good year for Disney because the Wild Hogs did the same thing. Wild Hogs was a decent movie. It wasn't particularly great. You know what I mean? It was cute. I didn't hate seeing it.
I enjoyed it.
But it wasn't like, oh my gosh, you got to run out and go see this movie to everybody. The game plan was very similar. It was one of those movies that was decent.
A little bit of star power.
Yeah, worth checking out. But the pickings are so slim that it just rose right to the top.
Right. I mean, if you look at the movies below it, The Heartbreak Kid, which we talked about last week, was funny, but it wasn't great. And it wasn't great enough to overcome being a comedy with an R rating.
Well, and you know what? The more and more I think about it, the less I liked it, I actually have to say.
Well, I'm kind of the opposite way. The more and more I think about it, the more I thought it was funny.
Well, it was funny, but it was inappropriately... I mean, they would have this like sweet little love story, and then they'd have jokes about anal rape and a donkey show.
Right.
Which, as much as
I can appreciate anal rape in a donkey show.
You appreciate anal rape?
As much as I can appreciate jokes about that.
Okay, you forgot the whole jokes. You appreciate donkey shows. I mean, hey, whatever you do in your spare time. I didn't see you a whole lot in San Diego when we were out there for Comic-Con, and I know you may have zipped down to Tijuana for a little bit of donkey show action.
I guess the point is that it wasn't a well-made movie. There were just parts that were funny. But it could not overcome. It only made $14 million last weekend.
Yes.
And then, of course, you had The Kingdom, which is still doing pretty well, which I think is continuing to get great reviews.
It's getting great reviews, but it's not.
It's not doing overwhelming. Okay. We still haven't had that overwhelming flick of the year. Resident Evil still up in the top five, and The Seeker of the Dark is Rising came in.
Oh, it tanked.
At number five.
An embarrassing show for The Seeker.
Yeah, so I guess that means another Harry Potter knockoff is dead.
Yes.
Great.
Which is kind of good, though, because that whole imitation thing going on just gets a little old. One thing that is interesting to note, if you look at the game plan, I was just checking out the daily coverage. Daily, it was The Heartbreak Kid number one and The Kingdom number two and The Game Plan on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, just kind of right in a row, which kind of shows that the big push for The Game Plan are the family audiences on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's really driving it.
I don't think anybody's going to argue with that.
And those are the people who are going to be banging on the door to see 30 Days a Night next week and Saw 4, because third graders love the Saw movies.
Are you serious?
Are we still recording?
I don't even know what to say to that.
What's coming up next?
But when we're looking at next week, or this week, the weekend of the 12th, we have The Heartbreak Kid, still the widest release. The biggest release of the new ones doesn't even come in the top five. We Own the Night is only going to be in, 2,300 theaters?
Yeah.
I think we're going to have another repeat of last weekend.
I have a feeling the game plan may actually win out again. Because ultimately, of all of them, We Own the Night, I don't think, has enough buzz. It's being advertised, but I just don't get that excited sense from people. And the same thing with Elizabeth. I mean, who cares? The one Tyler Perry's films have historically, if you look at not Daddy's Little Girls last year, but Diary of a Mad Black Woman and Medea's Family Reunion, both did crazy business.
Right.
But they were spring movies, were they?
I think they were both spring movies, but they were also both in a tougher time. Like they opened against bigger movies,
yeah.
So that they didn't win the weekends and they didn't win.
No, they did. I believe they both kind of knocked the ball out of the park. But they were both released like pretty much on the same weekend,
mm-hmm.
A year apart or whatever.
So are you predicting a sleeper here?
You know, I don't know, because this one's not the overt it's not the overt stage comedy that, and like I said, I haven't seen those movies, but it's not the overt stage comedy that, I understand those.
I also don't think they're marketing it very well.
I don't think they know who to market it to, because it's not just for the general. I mean, obviously Tyler Perry, you're going to go for the urban audience too,
right?
But that alone's not going to carry a movie to everybody seeing it. It's got to go a little wider, and it's got a little bit more of a niche market of sort of like that couple comedy slash drama,
right?
Than kind of like, oh, just come here and laugh your butt off,
right?
Okay. The final scenes is not going to go anywhere, because
honestly,
like a thousand theses.
It's going to play out the same way it did last week. I think Game Plan, Heartbreak Kid, maybe We Own the Night.
We Own the Night has a possibility of beating a Heartbreak Kid.
Maybe.
But it's just up against numbers at this point.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
Moving along. Second half of the show.
Most uninspired segment we've ever done.
We got some good ones coming up, though.
But it's the most uninspired weekend.
It is. It's a terrible weekend for movies. Hollywood needs to come out with some good stuff.
Shame on you, Hollywood.
We are still waiting for it. But in the second half of our show, we're going to do two very cool segments. First, we are going to run through some topics in the Fat Guy Sound Off, or Fat Guys Sound Off. Doesn't matter what you call it. And then we are going to respond to Esquire's article about The Sexiest Woman Alive by doing our 10 Sexiest Actresses on the Planet list.
That's right.
And so look forward to that.
And Rosie O'Donnell is not on the list. Just to mention.
With that, I end this segment. We will be back. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're rolling through second half of our show here.
Just rolling ahead.
Yes.
Boy, we just ran out of steam. We hit the ground running with this show, and
it just died.
And then we realized what was out.
Yeah.
And we're like, the best we can say about movies this week is like, they're okay.
We apologize, but unfortunately, other than talking about movies, we are going to have to...
We don't make the movies.
We're going to have to entertain you with stories about Kevin's movie theater experiences.
Right.
Also, we're going to talk about some topics, but before we get to some topics, Kevin, we have a voicemail to play.
We have a voicemail.
And this is by far one of the coolest voicemails we've gotten so far.
Who, pray,
you have not heard this yet. So here we go.
Kevin, this is Optimus Prime. Take a break from whatever you are doing and listen to me. I am contacting you from the battlefront. Alongside your amigo, Autobot scouts have detected Decepticon forces moving into Ohio. You must warn everyone you know, but be cautious with your so-called co-worker. We believe he may have joined forces with Megatron and now goes by the Transformer name, Bone Crusher. Time is short. You must prepare for battle. Begin by obtaining the Transformers DVD, available October 16th. In the meantime, if you know somebody who may want to join our forces, I will speak to them personally. Just go to TransformersMovie.com. Autobots, transform and roll out!
All right, Neil, so you're telling me that Optimus Prime called me to just tell me to
buy the stupid
DVD of Transformers. I was expecting something huge. And here's Optimus Prime going, well, you know, the world's in trouble, but to save it, buy my DVD and give some money to Michael
Bay.
Well,
I have to say, this is one of the cooler marketing things that we've seen lately.
I love the fact that you're my amigo.
Yeah. You,
not Neil. You're my amigo, that other guy. And going by the name of Bone Crusher. Well, maybe not Bone Crusher. Maybe Chip Eater or something like that. Chalupa Man.
So anyways, you can go to optimus.transformersmovie.com and send a message like that to any of your friends. I thought that was really cool. Somebody from Paramount sent that over to me.
That is cool.
So I thought I'd play around with it.
That is cool, Bone Crusher.
That's. I want you to call me that for the rest of the show.
I'll call you Bone Crusher. I'll call you BC, baby.
BC.
Let's go, BC. Let's roll out.
Yes.
Bone Crusher. The only bones you're going to crush are the ones during your knee joints because you walk when you walk from the TV couch to the kitchen to get a sandwich.
That's my exercise.
That's right. And lifting, doing curls with your egg salad.
Right. All right. Well, moving on from my exercise habits to some anti-feminism, let's start with our topics.
Whoa, let's just dive right in. Again, Neil's offensive.
Yes. First topic of the fat guy sound off.
Anyways.
All right. This week, Warner Brothers president of production, Jeff Robinov, was rumored by Nikki Fink of Deadline Hollywood.
A woman.
The dubious Nikki Fink.
A woman. It's
notable. He was rumored as saying that WB was not going to look at any projects with a female lead. And then when we contacted Warner Brothers, they obviously denied the claim. So, Kevin, is this a smart, money-making move or extremely dumb gesture?
I'm going to have to lean on the whole extremely dumb gesture.
Yeah, so I'm going to agree.
Considering they just like did a movie like that No Reservations with Catherine Zeta-Jones, that was a... Of course, that didn't
The Brave
do
One.
The Brave One. Yeah, the Brave One.
He was specifically setting the failure of both The Brave One and The Invasion.
The Invasion didn't... I don't blame Nicole Kidman for that one.
Right. My point is, don't make crappy movies and then blame it on the female star. They're crappy movies either way. It doesn't matter. Christian Bale could have been the lead in The Brave One and it would have sucked.
Yeah. Of course, it would have been interesting watching him make out with Naveen Andrews from...
That could have been fun, too.
Lost.
But I guess that it was a dumb statement. It got out. Warner Brothers denied it. Thank God they're saying that that's not their policy. But... I can imagine these things do happen behind closed doors in Hollywood.
But I do think they did come out and say they're not going to make any movies about black people anymore, though. That's so I heard. That's,
hey,
that's
we might as well
rumor.
Start our own rumor. Move on, next topic.
Okay. Am I reading this one?
Yes, this one's yours.
Eric Bana is going to play the villain Nero in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek film. What do you think? Neil Miller.
I like Eric Bana. He's awesome, man. He was pretty hardcore in Black Hawk Down. Loved him in Troy. The only thing that is scaring me a little bit is you start putting some star power into Star Trek and it loses that. I think
it loses a Star Trek feel. It's like that,
right?
The Wonder Woman thing we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Alba's hot. I mean, Jessica Biel's hot, but as Wonder Woman, she'd be Jessica Biel.
Yeah, it's kind of like a show like Heroes. I'm a big fan of Heroes. Not a lot of big stars when that show started out. Now they're getting bigger, but. Those big names can sometimes detract from a film, especially an ensemble film like Star Trek.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to almost reboot the series.
You've got Matt Damon.
Yeah, well, yeah. They don't have Matt Damon. They are rumoring Chris Pine.
For what, Kirk?
For Kirk.
He'd make for a good Pike, but that's
that's
for the Star
They're
Trek.
They're saying Tom Cruise for that one.
All right, next for you.
This week we got a new trailer for Doug Liman's Jumper, starring Sam Jackson and Hayden Christensen. What do you think? Is this a awesome sci-fi surprise or a huge steaming pile of crap?
Well, does it have to be steaming? That's, I guess, my question.
I don't know.
I don't know. When Doug Liman came out with Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I thought that was going to be the worst movie of the summer. And actually, I kind of liked it.
I did too.
I really liked it, actually. I was surprised at how much I liked it. Jumper, the only thing that bothered me about the trailer, it's about a guy who jumps, teleports himself. And
right.
I guess he can go anywhere, but he always teleports himself across the room, which is sort of a mundane superpower.
It's kind
of
lame.
You know, that's sort of like, I don't know, be able to travel 3 seconds in time. You know, it just doesn't quite work. So they're like, oh, they're living in secret and all this. And I'm like, it's not like a secret society. They make it bigger than what it really is.
I will tell you, though, there's a cool part of the trailer where a bus... just comes out of nowhere and Sam Jackson standing there in the middle of the desert. It's got Sam Jackson in it. I'm interested. It comes out in February.
No,
though, so
it's like,
that's
it has
like
Rachel
territory.
Bilson and she's hot. So let's.
There you go. Okay, we're interested to see
it's
it.
It's not going
to
be steaming.
Yeah.
New trailer for Mama's Boy starring John Heder came out this week. Is it going to be awkward and funny or sad and tragic? You.
I'm going with sad and tragic because as much as the trailer was funny, John Heder cannot play this character his entire career. He has worn it out. It's Napoleon Dynamite, a little bit older, 29-year-old guy, lives with his mom. His mom's Diane Keaton.
I have to say, when I saw this, I'm like, this looks like Mr. Woodcock, only not as angsty.
Exactly. And there's just, I don't know how much more can we do of this? Yeah, how many more of these movies can we really make?
It was not something that grabbed my attention. Look, we've been there, done that, and you know it's. Yeah, it's Grandma's Boy is going to be better.
Yes, and the last one, Kevin, Charlize Theron, this week named Sexiest Woman Alive. Agree or disagree?
We'll talk about the next segment.
Oh, really? Excellent. Moving along.
Well, I heard this on IMDb. Apparently, it's from Esquire magazine. Charlize Theron is the name, the sexiest woman alive. Is it sexiest alive. Woman alive?
Yes.
Which for already that's dubious, because there's probably like some cheerleader in like Kansas City who's smoking hot and much sexier than she is.
Right. Who's like been that. Around.
Yeah. And you know, there could be some just incredibly gorgeous chick in Bangladesh that nobody knows about because she lives like
in poverty
and in a sewer.
Where
but she's
Bangladesh.
Somewhere in a poverty
know where that
area.
Is.
Somewhere near the south side of Chicago, I think. So anyways, I saw this and I hit the roof because this reminded me of when some British supermarket chain, and this British supermarket chain got international news by naming Eva Longoria the most beautiful woman ever on TV. And I'm like, are you insane?
Seriously?
Yeah. What about the girls from like Three's Company way back when? You know,
what about the Golden Girls?
Yeah, come on, man.
Seriously.
Rue McClanahan?
Yeah.
And her little tight pants? Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Come on now.
She's got nothing on Eva Longoria. Or Eva Longoria's got nothing on them. They're twice her age. Now they're three times her age.
I agree.
But it just bothered me that I'm just like, oh, it's not. This isn't. I said this. I wrote a little article on Film School Rejects. This isn't the sexiest woman alive. This is the sexiest woman they can negotiate a photo spread with.
Right.
Because she looks good. I'll give it that to her.
Oh,
she,
yeah,
looks
she looks good.
Good.
We'll put the pictures up.
But she's not the sexiest woman on the planet.
She's the sexiest woman in that issue.
Okay. I'll give you that. So that inspired us to do a top 10 list.
Yeah, we decided to fight it out amongst ourselves.
And of course, we had a little bit of fat guy smackdown.
It was bad.
On this movie. On this list, because we were debating on where people should go and who should be on the list, who shouldn't be on the list. And Neil had a little temper tantrum and was like, I want this one on the list. And then when I'm like, I want this person on the list, he's like, oh, she's not that good.
Yes.
I'm like, I gave you like three and you didn't give me one. Selfish.
That's just how I roll, man.
You probably don't even snuggle after you're intimate with somebody. Shame on you.
Hey, you know what? That's for Jessica Alba to know and you to never find out. But let's move along to our list here.
I'm sorry, stalking and
attacking. What are we calling this list?
Is the not considered
the 10 hottest actresses
this
on the planet.
The you used the term. I forget what it was. The ten
sexiest
actresses in Hollywood,
or on the planet.
On the planet, yeah.
Yeah,
movie
on the planet's a good one because we gotta stay with
Esquire.
We're
so prepared
here.
With this list. We were actually taken to task. Somebody's like, "Hey, did you spend 10 minutes on this list?" I'm like, "Yeah, pretty much."
Yeah, we pretty much spent, but. We have strong opinions. They just come flying out.
That's right.
So we'll start at number 10. This is one of the ones I had, Alicia Cuthbert.
Yes. Got to see her get tortured
yeah.
and drink a heart flip for prey.
But I tell you what, there's that scene in the hotel at the towards the end of...
not House of Wax.
The hot the girl
the,
next
the
door.
The girl next door. Oh, she was so sexy.
Oh,
in the girl
wow.
next door. And in Old School, she was sexy in
yes.
Old School, too.
Yeah. So
and she ain't bad in
just the
24.
Thought that she was in high school in Old School was pretty sexy.
Exactly.
Not to be
you're
a perv.
So, not to be a perv, but excuse me while I go look for 16-year-old nude pictures on the internet. Isn't that what you just
dare
said?
I say who sent me the Vanessa Hudgens pictures?
Okay? She's 18.
Yeah, close enough.
And,
move along
and somehow I sent you a picture, yet when you posted the story, there were like four pictures on
it. I had to do research. Wikipedia is great.
Okay.
Moving along.
The next one, Salma. Now, let me use a woman who actually is, you know, not creepy to love, would be Salma Hayek. She's been sexy.
Quite possibly one of the greatest sex scenes ever in a movie in Desperado.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And it wasn't real graphic. She is just a beautiful woman. And go back to Desperado days. When
oh,
she was
yeah.
like in her 20s. Wow. Holy whoa. Guacamole
caliente,
salad.
As
yeah.
they say.
Is that what's that mean?
That's hot.
Oh, that's a lot of syllables to say hot.
It's Spanish. It's not easy, okay? It's okay. not like English. You can't just say durr and, you know.
Let me tell you, next when we meet Salma Hayek, I'll say, "Hey, Caliente," and you go, "Durr," and we'll see who gets hit the fastest, because we'll both get hit.
This list is going to take forever.
All right, your turn.
Number eight, Charlize Theron, who we had to agree on some level with Esquire.
Yeah, she's
She is a sexy lady.
My big beef with her is she just is making movies where she looks ugly now, which is...
Yeah, that's too... Like,
she's like, I need to
act. She made Monster.
Yeah, and okay, she won the Academy Award.
She looked like a man.
She did a North Country with a mullet, and then she did Valley of Ella, which...
She needs to do... Like,
she needs to do like the role in Celebrity when she was in Celebrity,
right? Where she plays like a supermodel,
supermodel and nymphomaniac.
Yeah, let's
We need more supermodel nymphomaniac.
See, roles. Charlize, it is your choice of roles, not necessarily your stature.
I am a voting member in several organizations, and I will vote for you if you do another nymphomaniac.
I'll totally vote for you.
All right, number seven. This is one we agreed on: Halle Berry.
Yes,
sexy, sexy woman, and in The Perfect Stranger, she's in her 40s, she is still
Let
sexy.
Me tell you, I met her on the press tour, on the publicity tour.
And there's now a restraining order, I understand.
There is now a restraining order, and a picture of me.
You tried to put her in a bag like Borat.
This is the only time I ever got in People magazine. You can see like my arm behind her in People magazine as she's bending down to give a kid an autograph. But let me tell you, Halle Berry is a sexy woman.
Oh, yeah.
She has got it.
Even pregnant, she's a sexy woman.
Oh, my.
Here's yours, number six.
Yeah, number six, Kate Beckinsale in Leather, in Underworld, Len Wiseman, Luckiest Man on the Earth.
And in Van Helsing. Did you see Van Helsing?
She's in Leather all the time, man.
Well, she wasn't in Leather in Click.
But she was still very... I mean, she was the best part about that movie. And it had Christopher Walken in it. That's hard to do.
She wasn't in Leather in Much Ado About Nothing.
Hey, don't worry about it, okay? She was in some kind of leather at some point.
But she was wearing leather panties.
Let me tell you. There is only one woman that I've ever seen in tight black leather like that look better than Kate Beckinsale.
And it wasn't your mom?
It was Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Returns.
Yeah. Well, that was vinyl, I think. Actually.
Well, it doesn't matter what it was.
Who cares?
It was black and it was skin tight.
Now we're going to move on to my favorite on the list. One of my favorite, Jamie Presley. My trashy little girl from My Name Is Earl.
She is I will call her the ultimate trashy girl.
She is the sexiest trashy girl out there. And I mean, she makes a living making those roles. Even before My Name Is Earl, she always kind of played that trailer trash hoe bag, so to speak. And she is so smoking hot. And from what I understand from interviews and stuff, she's a sweetheart in real life.
Well, she's one of those girls who you'd want to like beat the crap out of you as you're doing it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She'd want to smack you around.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah.
All right, your turn.
Moving on, number four, Scarlett Johansson. Can't do a list like this without Scarlett Johansson.
I'm protesting on this one. I don't think she should be there. She's just like... those lips, they're huge. It looks like she got punched in the face.
It looks like she got punched in some other places as well. So.
Nah, you showed me one picture and she was all lopsided. I'm not talking about her lips anymore. She's not that great of an actress. She sort of plods through these roles and... Did you see The Island? Oh, I forgot. You like want Michael Bay's baby, so you probably love that movie.
You know how I know you're gay?
Why?
Exactly.
Because you saw me on the internet or something
like that?
Do
the next one.
The website you go to? Next one, I'm going to say this is how I know I'm not gay, is because I love watching Monica Bellucci. And she's been, even in The Passion of the Christ, I was hot for her.
You were...
I was like, woo, Virgin Mary, she's hot.
Wow. I guess that is a true standard. If she can look sexy as the Virgin Mary in a movie.
Sexy in a black robe.
In one of the goriest movies.
Crying over
time.
Jesus getting murdered here. I'm like, wow.
Wow. Either there's something wrong with you or she's that sexy. I think
both. Actually, yeah.
Number two, Jessica Biel.
Yes.
Have you seen Stealth?
There's that one bikini shot.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. I mean, there is a one underwear / bikini shot of Jessica Biel in so many movies that is the best scene of the movie.
Yeah, I'm getting Chuck and Larry DVDs for giveaways on my website. So
awesome.
Stay tuned.
We'll do the giveaway thing here on the show.
We'll do it later. But keep your eye open because you know you might be able to get one you can freeze frame for free.
Hey, why not?
Number one, sexiest woman alive actress in Hollywood, not that, you know, not Candy the, you know, stripper from, you know, Kansas City, Missouri.
My future ex-wife.
Jessica Alba.
Excellent.
Oh, my goodness.
She is that hot in person as well.
She is so hot that you go see bad movies just to see her. You suffer through the bad movies and you're happy about
you
it.
You suffer through Dane Cook's acting.
You suffer through Jessica Dane Cook, and she doesn't do nude scenes, and you suffer through it all just because she's that hot.
Yeah. And I don't want her to do a nude scene. I don't want her to do a nude scene.
I do. Jessica, don't listen to this idiot over here in the room. Do a nude scene. It's all art.
She has the innocence that she needs to hold on to.
That's okay.
Someday, though, when she's like 40 and still smoking hot and she does a nude scene, it's going
to
be great.
Look, you know what? If you said to me, hey, you know, Jessica Alba's doing a nude scene in this next movie, I'd be banging down the door to go see it.
I think
you'd be like, no, 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 I can't look at it. It's wrong.
Well,
dude,
I'm
turned
respectful.
On by Mary, Mother of Jesus, running around, and so I have no problem saying, Jessica, in your 20s, do that nude scene.
We did determine, though. I think we were talking after a screening last week about if Jessica Alba just did a 10-minute nude scene where she sits on a bed naked reading a book. For 15 minutes.
I don't remember talking about that.
It would be the
that,
highest grossing film of the year.
I would love it.
It would be a 15-minute movie.
I'd be like, five stars immediately. Totally rocks.
Yep.
What's the movie about? I have no idea. But she was naked all the time. What was she doing? Nothing. She picked her nose, and it was the sexiest thing on the planet because you could see her breast.
Yes. And some honorable mentions. The first one is yours.
Eva Mendes. Now, this isn't Eva Mendes from, like, Once Upon a Time in Mexico. This is Eva Mendes from Ghost Rider.
In the first scene of We Own the Night.
We Own the Night, and in that awful Farrelly Brothers movie.
The Brothers Solomon?
No, no, no. That wasn't Farrelly
Brothers. Grimm?
No. It wasn't named the Brothers movie. It was Stuck on You with Matt
Stuck
Damon.
Stuck on You.
It was with Matt Damon.
They were
and
attached.
Greg Kinnear. Yeah. And she was just like so incredibly gorgeous in that movie. In a bikini.
In a bikini. And my honorable mention is Natalie Portman. I fought very hard to keep Natalie Portman on here because despite the fact that she looks like a 12-year-old boy in her only nude scene.
Something tells me you need to preface say that
I'm
in a
going back
way.
To Natalie Portman in Closer.
Can I suggest that you say instead of despite the fact that she looked like a 12-year-old boy in her first nude scene, and I'm well-versed on knowing what 12-year-old boys look like in their nude scenes, and that's really turned me on. Neil Miller, you don't want to say that. You just say, I recently saw this thing where she had a nude scene where she didn't show any breasts or anything like that.
No, I'm sticking with what I said.
I'm trying to keep you from getting that restraining order. You know, you don't want to have to register with the sheriff.
There is no way to go back on that now, but I'm going back to Natalie Portman in Closer. The scene in the club where she's in the private room with Clive Owen.
Doing what?
Stripping. Taking off her clothes.
Oh, that's how it works.
Excellent.
That's how
excellent.
It works. He was a sucker, though, because she didn't do anything, and he was just throwing money at her. I'm like, but he's an idiot.
I tell you what, she is sexy. She's not overwhelmingly beautiful, but she is very sexy.
Yeah. So. And in the schoolgirl outfit, or the little outfit she had before she got her head shaved in V for Vendetta.
I agree.
Alright, I'll do that.
And in that Queen Amidala thing with the paint on her face. Never mind. We gotta take a break.
Right from the start, I played the game. I felt like that there might have been something.
Okay.
I can't handle it anymore.
For all you viewer listeners out there who are hearing this on the real radio,
thank
not
God
listening.
You're not viewing.
Yeah, you don't want to watch what's going on right now. You just missed the best segment we've ever had on this show. And if you did miss it, you're going to want to go onto the internet where we have our internet exclusive segment and check us out, fatguysatthemovies.com. Listen to the current episode. And you'll hear the hidden segment that we don't have on the regular
on
air.
On the radio. Yeah, because it's completely inappropriate.
It's very funny, very inappropriate.
Listener, be warned. It
be
is
warned.
Completely
and that's where we talk about Charlize Theron and many other women and some strange deviant behavior from Neil.
Well, you know.
That's enough happened.
Yeah.
So here we are, end of the show. It's a sad moment in the evening. Magical studio in the sky.
There's, winding down.
You know, there's candy dripping from the walls. I don't know what
candy
that means.
Candy dripping from the walls. I don't get it. But let's wrap
that's
up.
That's how
our,
good that last segment was.
Yeah. Let's wrap up our reviews. We'll start with We Own the Night, which you said.
Kind of rocks.
I'm going to go with Kind of Rocks as well. And then Elizabeth, The Golden Age, you saw it.
That's when I'm on the fence. I mean,
get off the fence, Kevin.
I don't know which one to. I'm let's just say, I'm just kind of on this one.
You're just kind of.
It's either kind of rocks or kind of sucked. I don't know.
It's.
I'm totally. If I could just kind of give a kind of.
You can't.
This is like thumb sideways, man.
Wow. And the other movie? What was the third one?
The Tyler Perry movie. Why did I get married?
Yeah. Why did I get married?
Why did I see this movie? Kind of sucked.
And then the final season, neither one of us saw.
Neither one of us saw. Not that we didn't have a chance.
Yeah. So we can't give it a preemptive suck. It may be a good movie. In fact, it's getting decent reviews out there.
Yeah,
so,
I give them, you know, credit for actually screening it for us.
Yes. Not next week, speaking of movies.
Yeah, that'd be an appropriate thing to talk about on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to experience 30 Days of Night, the vampire movie.
The Vampire Alaska.
We're going to get caught in Rendition with Reese Witherspoon. We're going to go with a little Halle Berry and Things We Lost in the Fire. We're also going to take a trip down Reservation Road and potentially be Gone Baby Gone if we continue to offend people.
That's true. And then there's
The Comebacks.
The Comeback, which is an interesting thing because they're not even pretending they're going to have a screening for this.
They're just not.
They're
almost admitting, hey, this movie sucks, so we're not going
to
let you see it.
It's like Saw 4. Don't even expect a screening for Saw 4.
So, but if you'd like to get in contact with us, fatguysthemovies.com. Hit us up on iTunes, 614-388-8735. Kevin, your last words.
See you later at the movies.
Adios.